morning.
It is such a pleasure to be with you again this morning, because if I'm up here, then that means we have more baptisms. Amen. Which is a good thing. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. So before we continue this morning and open up our Sunday morning with wonderful baptisms, just a couple reminders. So let's go ahead and pull out our bulletins. We have a couple announcements for you this morning. And we start off by it being also a prayer request. As you guys might know or may not know yet, there's been parts of Kentucky who have been devastated by the flash floods this past couple days. If you watch the news, if you've kept up with that, you know that it's quite devastating. There's a lot of needs going on now. And first, let's be in prayer for them, that the Lord may offer guidance and healing where it's necessary. And you see there's a list of the counties that have been hit the hardest. So let's be in prayer for all those people, that the Lord may show his glory, his peace, and his mercy through such a devastating time. And if the Lord is moving you to help in any sort of way, as you see, there is a link that you can follow. If the Lord is guiding you to be able to give financially, to be able to help relieve some of the disaster that these people are going through, please do so. The link is right there at the bottom of the announcement. So we'll be in prayer for them. Also, starting today, I know it's been an announcement for a couple weeks now, the DBC choir is returning. That'll be tonight after our Sunday evening services. So it'll be, hopefully we end at 7. You got to tell Michael, 7 o'clock, man. We're done. It'll start at ending the service, and we'll go to 8 o'clock, and we will try to be 100% punctual on that as well. Again, listen, if you guys just want to try it out, please come. It's a time to just worship and be able to serve the Lord in that capacity. If this is something that you feel like you want to do, please come. And if you come once or twice and you say, there's no way I'm coming back, that's fine. Just give it a shot. We'll be here tonight, and it'll be a good time. Also, the DBC kids will be having a pool party on August 3rd from 6 to 7. There'll be food, there'll be drinks, and if you look on your announcements, there is a list of things that would be wise for your child to have that day. If you need a ride, please let Mandy or Courtney know. I am 100% sure that they will accommodate and help you out on that. If I'm not mistaken, August 3rd is Wednesday, right? So this...
It's going to be 6 to 8.
There you go, 6 to 8, right? So on your little pin, just mark 6 to 8. So that should be a wonderful time for our kids. Saturday, August 13th, so not this Saturday, but the next, it's the end of summer youth trip to the Ark Encounter in Williamstown, Kentucky. There is no deposit necessary. Basically, all you have to do, or all your child has to do, is just bring money for lunch and souvenirs if they want them. If not, that's fine. But if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me or any of our youth leaders, and we would be happy to answer any questions. The annual back-to-school bash will be on August 14th, so that's Sunday right after our trip. Please join us that evening. It'll begin at 6, and there'll be homemade ice cream after our Sunday evening service. And I'm a sucker for homemade ice cream, so I'll definitely be there. And also, there is a list of DBC children that our sister Mandy, she's putting together to be adopted. And this is a list of children that... Basically, what happens is we make a commitment to pray for them throughout the year, to support them in any way we can throughout the entire year. So please be in lookout for that list. Not sure the status on it, but I'm sure if you ask Mandy, she'll be able to give you more answers, I hope. The Baptist Associational meeting will be August 7th. So that's next Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. It'll be held at Pleasant Ridge Baptist Church. The first session starts at 3. And as all good Baptists, there will be food, dinner at 5:30. And the second session will be at 6:30. And again, that'll be at Pleasant Ridge Baptist Church. So there will be no Sunday evening services for us at Dallasburg next Sunday. Also, the small group teaching seminar, I know we've been announcing this for a couple weeks now, will be held August 15th. That's a Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Again, as good Baptists, we have dinner at 6:30. And a seminar will begin at 7. And again, this seminar is for anyone who leads, teaches, guides in any capacity whatsoever. This is not just for Sunday school teachers or for us pastors or for anybody. If you feel led If you feel that the Lord may be calling you to this type of ministry, please come and be with us as well. So this is for anyone who wants to join. Again, it starts at 6:30 with dinner. And also, there is a sign-up sheet in the Hallelujah Hallway, and it says sign up by July 31st. And if you have your handy-dandy calendars, that is today. So make sure to please add your name. Even if you think you might go, just go ahead and add your name so we have a pretty good idea of who will be attending. And then some more announcements due to our library. So what we'll do now is that we'll pray, and we will continue this wonderful morning with the baptisms that the Lord has planned for this morning. So let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you for this opportunity to come together and be able to worship your name. Lord, starting off on a beautiful Sunday with a reminder that you still work miracles in the lives of every single one of us. Lord, we bless you for these three people who have decided to take the next step in their walk with you, that have decided to follow Jesus no matter what this world may offer. We praise you for that. We bless you for that. And we thank you and we ask that these lives may be changed forever and that we as a church can come beside them and guide them and disciple them and befriend them and just be brothers and sisters in Christ. We bless you for that, Lord. And we also, Lord, in the time of petition, we ask that you, Lord, be with our brothers and sisters and families and our people in Eastern Kentucky. Lord, we see the devastation, and Lord, maybe we can't help physically, but there are other ways to be able to help in prayer, financially, or whatever aspect we can. We ask that you bless them with your presence, that you give grace, that you give mercy, that you give healing and restoration where it's needed, and that they can come out stronger, Lord, trusting in you. Father, we bless you again. May this service be an honor and glory to your name, to your son's name, and may we all do it through the Holy Spirit. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Super excited to have everyone with us this morning as we celebrate a wonderful thing for three wonderful people. To start off, we have Gabrielle Perry. And Gabrielle is, all of the people are very near and dear to me, but Gabrielle is really near and dear to me. I've known Gabrielle ever since she was little, and she's had a growth spurt here recently, but ever since she was little, I had the opportunity to coach her for many years, spent a lot of time with her family and her extended family. Looks like they decided to occupy this area this morning. Just a wonderful time with one another. When I was getting ready this morning, and I was praying about this, and I was thinking about Gabrielle and just the time that we've had together, I was reminded, Andrew and I were always blessed on the soccer team with just having kind young ladies to coach. They were very kind, and honestly, with an athletic event, sometimes almost too kind, right? You know, something would happen, and they would stop in the middle and stop play to go and help someone. We're like, no, we're supposed to be trying to score goals. Get out there and do something. And I was thinking one time of a story. I was like, how do I teach the kids that, you know, when it comes time for a game, you know, we get serious and we get focused, and then after the game, we can, you know, we can kind of calm down. And I came up with this analogy. It's like flipping the switch, like flip a light switch. And I was telling the girls, I was like, hey, man, we got to flip this switch, man. We got to get ready. This is a serious game. And Gabrielle was vibrating over there. And I asked her, I said, Gabrielle, you got something you want to say? She goes, I do, for the whole team. I'm like, well, go ahead. She goes, I flipped my switch a long time ago, Michael. It's been flipped. And so I was thinking about that this morning, and I think it's a very good analogy for what is happening here today, right? What this clearly marks is a movement forward in growing and sanctifying themselves in the Lord. And so it's a wonderful and it's an amazing thing. Just, and I won't say this for everyone, but just a reminder of everyone what baptism is, right? Baptism is a symbolic display of what's already happened internally. Like, these waters are not magical. There's nothing special about these waters. It is nice and warm, though, right? Nice and warm, right? There's nothing magical about these waters, but it symbolizes what's already occurred inside of our three individuals this morning, and it's just a wonderful thing. A lot of times when we have this, we give the opportunities for the person being baptized to maybe share. All three, I thought, were like, no, I'm not. And so hopefully they'll get to that point to where they will be able to share a little bit of testimony with you. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask, we're just going to reaffirm for the whole church here, Right? I already know the answers to these questions. We're just going to reaffirm some questions here, and this is all you have to say. All right, Gabriel? Okay. So the first question is this. Gabriel, are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes. Very good. Great. Very good. Also this. Have you confessed your sins to Christ?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. And then what we're going to focus on moving forward is repentance and moving away from those. So the final question is this. Are you committing today in front of your family? Right? Here's your family. Most of them. Here's your family. Also your church family. But most importantly to God, are you committing your life to chase after Him and what His Word teaches?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right.
As we continue to worship the Lord this morning, we thought it'd be appropriate to be able to worship Him in song as the next person steps up to be baptized. It's a hymn that we all know, so you can stay seated. Just sing along with us.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Here we are again. Amen. Yes, absolutely. Here I am with Amy. Had an opportunity the other night to sit in the office and hear her testimony and to share with myself what the Lord has been moving in her heart, and just an amazing testimony. Like I said earlier, I'd asked Amy, I was like, do you want to talk? And she goes, not unless you want me to pass out. No. So be in prayer for her. Most people don't want to be in front of people, right? And she doesn't desire that. But I do know what she does desire is to live her life for the Lord. And so we had a great conversation. I am very trusting in her salvation experience. And I'm very excited what the Lord is going to do for you moving forward. All right? Absolutely. And so I'm going to ask you some very similar. I've never memorized these questions, so they're close. They're not exactly the same, right? The first one is this. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Absolutely. Very good. Are you committing today to repent from your sin and to move forward as best as you can with God's grace to run away from those sins?
Yes.
Absolutely. And then this one is, I think, they're all important, but this is a very important one to think about too. Are you committing today in front of your family and your church family, but most importantly in front of God, that you're committing to chase after Christ for the remaining of your life?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right.
Say we finish that hymn out. My cross I'll carry.
My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back.
Excellent. I'd shared last week with the church because we were super blessed to have two baptisms last week as well. And I'd shared with them that because I wear a heart tracker and my heart was through the roof. And so I don't know what happens when we have three like this. Super excited about this. Had a chance to sit down with Adam and with Brad. And we just had almost an hour and a half conversation. About where Adam had been and what he'd been through, and that the Lord was calling on his heart, and he was very—it's all right, brother. And absolutely, absolutely. And how the Lord was calling on his heart, and what the Lord was changing him. I heard some amazing truths come out of Adam. I'm very excited what God is going to do with him. And this is the same for all the other two. But also I wanted to just emphasize this right now at this point, is that not only is this something that is happening for these individuals, but it's something that's important to us as the church as well. So not only are they committing, you know, the third question is, are you committing to chase after Christ for the remaining of your life? Very important. The right answer is yes, right? But also it's commitment for us as the church to be there as accountability partners, to be there to speak truth into these individuals' lives and to really disciple them as we move them forward. The church did this wrong for many, many times. Hey, let's just baptize them and they're good. Inaccurate. They need discipleship as well. And so looking forward to that. I know in Brad you have a mentor and a brother in Christ, so super excited about that. Again, I think soon we'll have a testimony. But Adam told me this morning, he goes, man, there's just too much to say right now. So we're looking forward to that when that occurs. But I got a couple questions for you, and this is all you got to say this morning, right? Are you confessing and are you resting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I am.
Yes, very good. Have you confessed your sins and with the grace of God committed to repenting and running away from those sins?
Yes.
Yes. And then third, are you committing today in front of your family, in front of this church, but most importantly to God, are you committing today to chase after Christ for the remaining of your life?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay.
If it wasn't for Brad Hoyt, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I know God came through him that day. He talked me into making a good decision. Even my sister and my girlfriend, Amy, I wasn't listening to him. Saying, here come Brad walking up, and I didn't want to hear him either. I just thought, ain't he got something better to do? But hey, if it wasn't for him, I don't know. He asked me to not do this, but get away from what I was doing and go try out and think, so I could think clear. And if he had, and I said, all right, just like that. I just want to thank you, Brad, for being there.
Amen. Absolutely. Now, something I wanted to share, I've seen this happen before just like this. Before that curtain opens, you're like, dude, don't ask me anything. I can't say anything. And then the Spirit moves you to say something like that. That's very good and it's very right. And so thank you for that. Thank you so much.
Amen. What a beautiful way to start a Sunday morning. And what a beautiful way also to be able to see the glory of God and be able to behold our God and that he's still doing miracles, he's still saving people, and our God is still victorious. Amen. So let us stand this morning as we worship our Lord and let us behold our God. Let us behold sitting him on the throne. Let us worship that wonderful name.
tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore.
Come and adore him for so many reasons, 10,000 and many more. Let us continue worshiping our Lord this morning. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. So
his holy name. holy name.
Amen. We worship his holy name. Psalm 107, verse 8 says, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." And we do that by singing praises, and we do that by recognizing that he is our living hope. So let us sing that this morning.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me."
Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Lost its grip on me. You have
Amen. Because he is our living hope, we have that wonderful, blessed assurance. So let us sing.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song.
Psalms 107, 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul. He fills with good things.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. I want to thank you so much for what we've got to witness this morning, these three baptisms, Lord. I can only imagine how happy and rejoicing that you are, Lord. I know everybody here is rejoicing, and I'm just so thankful for those decisions that were made, Lord. And I just ask that you help us as your church body to disciple these three and anybody else along the way, Lord. I just pray that we do what we're called to do, and that's to make disciples, whether it's here or wherever it is, Lord. And I just pray that you burden us with that task, Lord. And I also pray for the offering that we're about to receive, Lord. I pray that we use that offering to the ongoing work of your kingdom. I lift up Michael as he brings today's message, and I just pray that we put away the distractions of this world, of our daily lives, Lord, and you open our hearts and our minds to what you would speak through him. Your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
All right, our kids will make their way to Children's Church. Again, just super excited to be with you all this morning. It's harder than I thought it was going to be last week, and so I'm experiencing that again a little bit right now. But after the joy and the experience that occurs in the baptistry, it's a little bit difficult to come out of here and to calm down a little bit and to take a look at God's Word. But let it riff, all right. Well, I'm doing my best. It's just an amazing thing, man, and I'm so thankful to be part of that and the small role that I play in that. But just so thankful that God is still working in people's lives, right? You know, we sing that song, you know, our living God. That's very important. Side note, that's got nothing to do with today's message. That is very important for us to understand. It's not just a static God. It's not just a God that we read in the Old Testament. We're like, man, how long I got to go? That is a living God that is still active and doing things in people's lives today. And that's an amazing thing, and we need to celebrate that. But most importantly, we need to give God the glory for that. It's very important. All right, back to our regularly scheduled sermon. We continue our walk through 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 20 is where we find ourselves today. Let's take a look at that. God's word says this: "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you for what we witnessed this morning in the ordinance of baptism, Lord, just an amazing thing. Lord, I'm thankful for all these men and women that have made time this morning to gather with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, to take a look at your word, to have it wash over them, to have it conform them, to have it convict them, but most importantly, Lord, to make us more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, just thankful for that. Lord, I just pray right now as we continue that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and teaches us and guides us and reveals truth of your character to us that earlier were unknown to us. So, Lord, we're just so thankful for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So when we first come to this set of scripture, there's just something that we have to address. We have to give some context. And for those of you all who maybe aren't and you're visiting with us today to see one of your loved ones be baptized, we welcome you. I guess I could kind of focus here and back there. We got the good Baptist back there all the way in the back. We got everybody over here, right? Because Baptists know where they're supposed to sit. They sit in the back, right? Just to give you a little, real quick context here is Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to five churches that have been displaced simply because they're Christians. Right, that's the only reason they've been displaced to foreign lands, and Peter is writing this letter to them to encourage them and to embolden them of what God and how God wants them to act in the midst of suffering and trials. It's a very positive book, but it's also a very convicting book of Scripture. Because one of the things that I am always amazed by Scripture is just how relevant it remains. Right? And so when we read 1 Peter and you're like, man, those people are living in times where the government didn't like them. And those people are living in times to where people are after them simply because they believe in Christ. Guess what that sounds like to me? Right now, 2022. And so as relevant as all of Scripture is, 1 Peter just continues to jump off the page to me, and I pray to you as well. It's just not only was this intended for these groups originally, it's also meant for you and I today. It's also very important for us to understand today. And so what we first have to discuss when we come to this set of scripture is we have to discuss in some of your translations, I'm reading from the ESV, some of you may be reading from other translations, which is totally fine, is the word servants there. Some of your translations are going to use the word slave, right? And so we need to talk about that, right? So I know for me, when I hear the word master, slave, the first thing I think to is, you know, 19th century South, right? And just that dark stain that's on American history. I think there's no way to admit that it's just a very dark stain upon our history. But the slavery that's discussed in Scripture is very different than the slavery you've probably studied in your history classes, right? Quite often, people that were in slavery, they sold themselves into slavery, right, to pay off a debt, and they were able to earn money, and they were able to pay for themselves so then they could leave to being a slave or a bond servant, it oftentimes calls them in Scripture. It was not just simple laborers in the field. I mean, slaves comprised themselves of doctors, legal. I mean, it was not what we would think of just simple day laborers as slaves. Slaves were oftentimes treated very well. They were treated as valued members of society. And so when we come to this discussion, I've read this in many places, and people really are upset. They're upset with God and they're upset with Jesus. Is why didn't Jesus stop slavery? Why didn't he put an end to it right there? And it's a very simple answer. It's a simple answer, just like for so many times when you pray to God, why God doesn't do something right then is because that's not the time the sovereign Lord had decided to end it. Now, what did God do, right, is that later, guess who helped to end slavery? Christians. It began in Europe. It made its way to the Americas, and eventually, because of Scripture and because of relationships with Christ, slavery was ended by God. But it wasn't when 1 Peter was written. It was as common an institution as anything. In the writing of 1 Peter, no one would have batted an eye at the concept of slavery. It was just commonplace. And so we have to kind of, as best we can, see that through their perspective. You can't take 2022 values and try to understand slavery written in approximately AD 60 was when 1 Peter was written, right? Very different than the slavery you understand and what you grew up studying about. Some research that I had done, at one point in Rome, over 60 million people would be considered what we would call slaves. Just what the entire Roman Empire and the economy was built upon were people serving in these roles. And so you may wonder when you read Scripture why there's so much Scripture that talks about slavery and talks about what this looks like. It's because there's no doubt the gospel and the epistles and all these different books of Scripture would have eventually made their way into individuals' hands who were serving masters, right? So we understand that. But we also need to understand this, the dynamic that would have existed between, you know, master and servant in AD 60 is very akin to what many of you see with an employee-employer relationship. It was a relationship. They received, you know, a lot of the slaves received pay. They received pay, and they basically were employees of an employer. And so when you come to this set of Scripture, don't be like, well, this has got nothing to do with me, right? Slavery's been abolished for a long time. Side note, it's not. In other parts of the world, slavery still exists. But for most of us have never really experienced that. But when you come to this set of Scripture, it is relevant to you because most of you are an employee of someone, and some of you are employers. So this Scripture is important to you. It has a place to play in your life as well. And so we see here, be subject to your masters, right? And so we talked about this last week. We had shared, there's a big chunk of Scripture here. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this. Is we're going to be talking about being submissive, right? To be subject is another word for just saying be in submission, right? And so what Peter, again, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what he's telling people here is that we are to be subject to our masters. You can think of the word employees with all respect. Now, let's just be super honest. It's one of the hallmarks that we do here at Dallasburg Baptist Church, and I know many of you have home churches as well. Amen to that. One of the things that we stress here very hard is transparency. We talk about it a lot. I think it's very important to your Christian walk. And so we are a very transparent group of people whom we call the church. And so let's all be honest with ourselves here real quick. Is that always easy for you? Is it always easy for you if you have an employer who's maybe not doing something the way you want it done or you like it? Is it always easy to have with all respect? Yeah, I see some eyebrows going up. Thank you. It's not easy, right? It's not easy. And so let's go on, right? Peter even continues this thought. Not only to the good and gentle, I pray that many of you have had good and gentle employers at one point. And if you are an employer, I hope you are a good and gentle employer. I've had lots of bosses, not even those that I'm always kin to. A lot of bosses, and thank you all for laughing at that. A lot of bosses, and I had served one, and he used to be a member here. He's a member somewhere else now, but Dave Williams was my boss. I used to help him in concrete. Side note, that's a hard way to make some money is in concrete, right? And I got to experience that. Because Dave Williams was a believer, he treated me with nothing but respect. He was very kind. He did everything he could to make it as easy as he could on everyone who worked for him. And so I was able to witness that, and it was easy to be submissive to Dave. If Dave said do this, we do that. If Dave said dig that hole, we dig that hole. It was very easy to do that. But God, knowing us and our sin nature and our problem with being submissive, with subjecting ourselves to other people in authority, he goes on and says this, but also to the unjust. Now, most of us can get on board with that first part of Scripture, like, yeah, man, I like that. I want to do that. I'm okay with that. But then he also says we are to be subject to employers that are unjust to us. Right? When we look, and some of your translations may translate it this way, the Greek word there for unjust is scolio. It's where we get the word scoliosis, right? A crooked spine. Some of you probably are old enough. If you're old as me or older, you got checked for scoliosis in school. Some person would come in there and they'd touch your back and be like, no, you're good. And I'm like, I knew I was good. I didn't need you to tell me that, right? And so they would check, and what they were checking for was the curvature of your spine. Is it correct? So when the way the ESV translates that is it uses a kind word. It says unjust. But the word also is crooked and spiteful. What Peter is impressing upon people there is also sometimes that individuals would get robbed by their employers. Some of you have probably experienced that. Well, my time card says I did this. Well, we're not paying overtime this week. So guess what? You're just going to have to eat that time. And you're like, well, I'm not eating that time. Yeah, you are, right? It's not just. It's not legal. It's illegal to do that. But however, Scripture is clearly telling us that we are to subject ourselves to those unjust people. And so us, and I'm just going to lump us all here together, is that one of the things that we have to understand, right, is that as Americans, as someone who lives in the Western part of the world, you haven't experienced a ton of this. But what Peter is describing here is very common for the majority of the world, that they work for employers and they're treated horribly. But Scripture tells us to continue to be subject to them, right? Why is that? There's got to be a reason for this. Like, why are we supposed to do that? Scripture answers it for us here. We continue. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. And so when I was reading about this and I was doing some research, I came across an example of this and the end purpose of this, right? And we'll get to the end purpose just here in a second. But the story is told by, and some of you, I know some of us with us today have served in the military. Thank you for your service, both men and women. But this individual was not a good soldier. He wanted to be. He wanted to be a good soldier, but he couldn't climb the obstacles, and he wasn't strong. And I've heard stories of this, of my stepfather, who was a Korean War veteran. The military then is very different than the military now. Not quite as touchy-feely, right? And so I have heard stories from my stepfather of getting beat up by his drill sergeants because he messed up. And according to him, he messed up a lot. So he got a lot of beatings. And so in this situation, this soldier was just not because he was being disobedient, just was not a good soldier. And his drill sergeant one day just got him down and just kicked him. Just kicked him and told him, you have to do better. You have to do better. And just attacked him with his boots, right? The next morning, the sergeant wakes up. Boots are perfectly shined, like you could see your image in them. And the sergeant's like, "Who shined my boots?" And everyone pointed at the guy that he'd beat up. And he went to the guy and he was like, "Why did you do that?" Like, it just blew his mind. He was like, "Why would you do this?" And it was an opportunity for that individual to share his testimony of Christ. And he says, "Even though I believe you to be unjust, I still am in submission to you while I serve under you. And because of that, I did that for you." And the amazing news for that and the end of that story is that drill sergeant goes on to be a believer and follower of Christ because of the example of a guy getting kicked repeatedly over and over and over again. So we hear that story and we understand what's going on here is because we are to suffer this abuse. We are to endure through this for one important reason. Because it builds our testimony and gives us opportunities to share Christ with people. And some of you are thinking like me, you're like, "Well, can't we do that and not be beat up? Like is that, if that's an option, I'll take that option, God." Well, guess what? You and I both live in a sinful, fallen world to where sin runs rampant. You don't need me to tell you that. You know that. You're experiencing that constantly in your life. But that's what God is talking about here, and that's the point he's making to us, is that he understands that things should be perfect. Because guess what? At one point, they were. Remember all the way back in Genesis, we talked about the Garden of Eden? There was no unjust behavior. There were no employees. There were no masters. There was no problem. But unfortunately, sin entered the world and ruined all that. So the reality is this, church, and you just got to come to grips with this. The quicker you can come to grips with this, it will be a massive jump in your sanctification, is that you live in a fallen world to where things are not going to happen ideally. I can't speak for you and your household and your experience, but I can speak for mine and my household, and it does not go according to plan quite often. Some of that's because maybe we're not good at planning. A lot of that is just simply because of sinful behavior and sinful hearts, making sinful decisions. Right? And so when you read this, you need to understand this is going to happen to you. You are going experiencing this, right? And like I said earlier, some of you all are blessed and you have an amazing business acuity and you're good and you have a business. Treat your employees well. Treat them in a godly manner. But for the vast majority of us, we're going to have an employer, right? Someone is going to be telling us what to do and we're to submit to them. Because it gives us an opportunity to share the gospel, right? Let's roll back and look here. I believe it's verse 15. We go back at verse 15, and this is kind of the gist of this whole set of scripture. Verse 15 tells us this, "For this is the will of God." So just pause right there. What is the will of God? The will of God is for us to be in submission, right? Remember, we got several messages. This is just the second, probably at least two more, maybe three. I'm kind of slow. Maybe three more lessons where we're going to talk about nothing but submission. There's a reason Scripture talks so much about it. Side note, I hit the pause button there for a second. I want to thank our musicians this morning. They get here early. They practice. They put a lot of effort in. We sang that song, Perfect Submission, right? Even our hymnals, right, which are based on the gospel, right, we're hopefully getting truth through those as well, those are also teaching us and reminding us about submission. Now, if I had to guess, there is no poll, no spreadsheets are coming out for any of you to find out. My guess is all of you need some help with submission. I know I do. I know I do. Like somebody tries to tell me something to do, I'm like, I don't know who that person thinks they are. They ain't bigger than me. We're about to have a problem here. And then I'm reminded, that's my sin nature talking. If that person has been, remember last week we talked about whether you like it or not, the government, local, federal, state, whatever, fill in the blank there, they are put in position because of God. God is sovereign. That did not happen. He was not surprised at that. And when those people are put in those positions, we are to do what? Live in submission to them. Now, there's an asterisk here. I talked about it last week. Let me go ahead and say it again today. When does that not apply? That's when your employer or your government asks you to do something counter to God's word. Now, that is when you're like, pump the brakes. I don't have to submit to that. And there's clear evidence in Scripture of that. But like I shared with you last week, I believe that to be very rare. That is not a common thing. When you get to your work tomorrow and your boss wants you to do something, you're like, nope, it's unbiblical. I'm not doing it. Well, unless it's unbiblical, go clean whatever he tells you to do. Right? Go do what they ask you to do. Maybe you don't want to. Understand this. This is God again showing you how much he loves you and cares for you, because he wants you to understand the concept of submission. I understand, church, that in 2022, this is almost like a four-letter word. None of us want to do it. And the reason none of us want to do it is because we all have a problem with it. And because most of us have a massive problem with it, that's why Scripture talks to it so often. And so you think you're having it rough. Imagine being a displaced Christian. You're sent to a foreign land for no other reason than being a Christian, and then you receive this letter. I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that. Peter is very clear to live in submission. Why? Main reason, it gives you opportunities to share the gospel. It gives you opportunities to grow your testimony. It gives you the opportunity to look different. One of the things I've shared with you, church, in your workplace, in your family, right? If you don't look different than a non-believer, that's a real problem for you. You should look very different than your non-Christian coworkers. You should look very different than your non-Christian family members. You should look different. And a lot of it is the reason you look different is because of your understanding of submission. Now, we talk about men and employers and women and being in submission to all these things. It's also laying a groundwork for us to understand that we are to live in submission to God. Now, the reality is you can live your life as if, man, God can't tell me what to do. I got hard news for you. That bill's going to come due at some point. You can live in disobedience for however long the Lord decides to give you. But at some point, that's going to come. That's going to come due. And there's going to be consequences of that. You know, one of the things when I had and it was a great meeting with Adam. I wish every day had meetings like that. And we talked about that. We talked about living a life of disobedience and how a life of disobedience and lack of submission is very difficult, I would say impossible, for God to bless a life that looks like that. Now, we can look at Scripture. The amazing thing is that whether you're a believer or not, you're living under the grace and protection of God. A lot of non-believers don't believe that. Well, they're wrong. But if you want to live a life that has blessings, and understand, blessings to us, biblical blessings is very different than worldly blessings, right? Trials are also what, JT? Blessings. Thank you. Great answer, JT. I put him on the spot there. Our trials are blessings as well. Right? And so if you want to live a life with blessings received from God, you have to understand submission and live in submission to him. The counter to that ends very poorly for you. And even though a lot of theologians don't like to talk about this anymore, I disagree with them. It's an eternity in the separation of God, what Scripture calls hell. That's the results of not understanding submission. Right? It's difficult. Right? It's very difficult to us to walk this path, but we are supposed to, right? As Scripture tells us, for it doesn't say it's a difficult thing. It doesn't say you're going to hate it. It says this, for this is a gracious thing, right? As we endure, because it gives us the opportunity to share the truth about God. And I'll finish reading verse 15 there for Steve. For this is the will of God, we talked about that, that by doing good you should put to silence of what? The silence of ignorance of foolish people. Why are they ignorant? They don't understand there's a God. They don't understand what living in submission to God looks like. So they are living a life based on ignorance that is going to be a real problem for them. I was also reading some stuff about this, and I want to end with this, talking about submission. I know some of you, I know Clint served in the Navy, I know Billy served in the Navy, a couple of you served in the Navy, maybe you've been on ships before. A long time ago, before there was shortwave communication, they sent signals with lights, and they had shutters on them, and they would flash messages back and forth. And this captain is traveling in the sea, and he sees another light on the horizon. He sends a message, he goes, alter your course 5 degrees south. Basically, I'm coming straight. You need to get out of my way. That's the message he's sending. Message comes back. No, alter your course 10 degrees north. And this guy's like, well, this guy's got a problem. Sends another message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm the captain. Message comes back. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm third class Seaman Johnson. Now, I didn't serve in the military, but I served in a paramilitary organization. I understand a hierarchy very well, and I understand this. A third-class seaman do not tell a captain what to do. So the captain becomes enraged, just furious. He goes, I know what I'm going to do. Sends another message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm the captain of a battleship. Now, if you understand military history, before boomer subs and before aircraft carriers that were literally as big as cities, battleships were the thing. No one messed with battleships. He goes, I got him. No one will disagree with a battleship. Message comes back. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm a lighthouse. Right? The message is this. You can either live in submission to the glory of God, and then one day be rewarded for that behavior, or you can live in disobedience and perish. You can drive your big battleship right on the rocks and possibly kill everyone under your command. That's what's at stake here, church. That's what's at stake. Submission is very important to us. I encourage you to pray about it. I encourage you to meditate on it. I encourage you to dig into Scripture, and continue to pray for a spirit and a heart that is more understanding of what it means to live in submission to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much today, Lord. We thank you for another reminder that not only are we to live in submission to our government, but we're to live in submission to our employers, those that you have put into positions of authority over us. We understand why that's important. Number one, it helps grow our testimony. It gives us the opportunity to share the gospel, allows us to tell people of Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on the cross on behalf of everyone, that then he went into the grave, and 3 days later he returned overcoming death to be the payment for our sins. And that if we today live in submission to Christ and we allow him and we understand what it means for him to be our Lord and Savior, Lord, that we too can spend eternity in your presence. Lord, we just pray for those opportunities to share that gospel with people. Lord, I pray for every person here today that is a Christian, that in their workplace, in their family, that they look different, they act different, they just stand out. Not in a negative, sinful way, but in a biblical way as looking different than those around them. What an amazing thing. Lord, if there's anyone with us here today that reads this and they're like, I don't understand submission. Lord, I pray they come down this morning so we can discuss and we can have a conversation about Jesus Christ and how we are called to live in submission to him and allow him to be or acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior. Or just an amazing thing. And Lord, I just pray that as we go out into the mission field, wherever that may be, that we're able to share your love, to speak your truth. And Lord, we pray that you call many to you through the conversations we have with others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand and sing in response, and let us sing about that wonderful old rugged cross. And I love that old cross where the
divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So
excellent. Amen. You guys sound amazing. So good. Exciting. A lot of things happening this morning in church. Let's do them one by one. First of all, Thomas would like to enter into membership with Dallasburg Baptist Church. All those in agreement with that, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, we got a hand raise. Anyone opposed, say no. Man, a hand raise is good, Thomas. That's really good, man. All right, and then also Adam, Amy, and Emmy also would like to enter into membership at Dallasburg Baptist Church. All those in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Double hands, Adam, for you. Anyone nay? No one ever says nay, right? So they're going to be down front. Come and welcome them into membership here at Dallasburg Baptist Church. Exciting time. Alexandria came forward this morning. Many of you know this, is that, I got to hold this together. It's a big deal for me too, is that Alexandria leaves Wednesday to head off to college. I've known Alexandria just as long as I've known Gabrielle, and it's hard. It's hard when the birds leave the nest. And we also know we live in a time, like we talked about this morning, and some of you nodded your head, which I appreciate that, in a time that what Gabrielle has been taught by her family, almost this whole section is her family, right? It's been taught by her family, and also been taught to us by a church. She is going off to some place that will try to convince her that is all foolishness and all hogwash, right? And so we understand she's at risk right now. Like, she's going out into the world. And so what Alexandria, and I'm proud of her maturity, right? She comes forward and she asks specifically for you to pray for her, right? She needs your strength right now, right? It's also, many of you, I am not originally from Owen County, but I've been here since the fifth grade, so I claim it as I've been here forever. But many of you have been in Owen County your whole life, and you understand what it feels like to leave it. It's not as easy as people who are not from here talk about it. It's harder than it sounds, right? And so that's going to be difficult too. Had an opportunity to go to the Perry's house last night. What, 100 people? I don't know. I don't count. I'm not good at counting people. Just the love overpoured for Alexandria, and it means a lot to her, right? And so be in prayer for her. So what I'm going to do, and don't leave, because there's another prayer we're going to do after this one. Simon, you come on up for that. So Jimmy, will you specifically pray for our services, for our new members, and also for Alexandria as she heads off to school? Thank you.